dirty cold you maintain. I'm going to turn the mics on, so be careful now. All right.
Hello.
We're on, and the studio is partially lit, and I had to cut that song off. So that's all right. Yeah, you have the mic that doesn't work, Ryan.
Ruh-roh.
So you might have to just swing Ben's over. All of your mics are on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you should be good.
But you're so low.
Yeah, you can adjust all that. Ben, does your mic work?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. So, Ryan, unfortunately, you just have to share Ben's.
Why doesn't it work?
I don't know. It's just been a continuous problem. It might just be a simple thing, like it's not plugged in. But anyway. All right, everybody. You're listening to Man vs. Mob Radio. It's on every Monday from 7 to 8. And this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Clerkin, and in studio with me tonight, I have three guests, three longtime friends, Ryan, Ben, Mike. Ryan, as I mentioned before, Ryan's mic doesn't work, so I think he'll be switching with Ben. Okay, guys. So, Mike, you were just sharing moments ago a story of difficulty with the UPS, USPS, and FedEx.
Yeah.
I wanted to share a story of my own from today. So you all know how recently I put some decals on my truck that say Man vs. Mob on them.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Then Ryan kind of spoiled that, saying, yeah. Oh, you're going to need some commercial plates for these.
Be a party
for these, for these decals. So I went to a series of visits to the RMB and with my insurer to get the right plates. So I finally got the commercial plates on my vehicle, because any marking on a vehicle, you have to have commercial plates, I guess, any advertisement. So I finally got those commercial plates on. And then the other day, I am driving to, I don't know, somewhere local, and I find this ticket on my windshield wipers, and so it's $28. It says your plates don't match what's on your parking permit. You gotta be kidding
me. This is from the city of Medford.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I go today.
I got
this a couple days ago. I go today to the Medford parking office. And I said, hey, I'd just like to switch over my parking permit to my new commercial plates.
Right.
She goes, this is going to be a problem. You can't park on the streets if you have commercial plates in Medford.
No.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is the exact kind of stuff that you were essentially talking about. It's like, you try to do the right thing. You say, all right, well, I want to be within the rules and regulations. I want to get my commercial plates. You get your commercial plates. They say, sorry, you can't park on the street anymore. Oh my God.
Ridiculous, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd.
I actually have a very similar story to that. I was living in the city of Worcester for a while, and the person whose name was on the lease, we were both students at a school just outside of Worcester, and the person I was living with was from Arizona. Mm-hmm. Now, his name was on the lease for the apartment. He had Arizona plates, he had an Arizona license, and the street outside of our apartment was permit parking only.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the city of Worcester. We said, hey, we need parking permits. This is where we live. This is where, you know, we'll be parking. And they wouldn't give him a parking permit because you needed to be a Massachusetts resident, which he was not. And me having a Massachusetts license and license plates, they would not give me the permit either because my name wasn't on the lease and couldn't prove that I actually lived in Worcester.
Oh,
so it was a whole debacle over something that should be very simple fix, but
yeah, you see why people just say screw it, don't abide by any regulation. But I'm not advocating that, but you see why people do it.
Now, in Ben's circumstance, I kind of actually can understand that, because you don't want people who are coming from out of state and then taking up all the street parking. If you've been a longtime resident, you might find that to be unfair.
I agree with
Ben's
that.
Taking it back.
However, if you're students who choose to come to Massachusetts to go to college and you're spending your, you know, money set aside for education as well as entertainment in that city and in that state, you know, they're basically telling you we don't want your money.
Yeah, so I think a good solution in that case would be they should offer temporary parking passes for college students in college towns.
Well, can we just talk about how underrated driveways are?
Yeah, I love driveways.
More of them, more
I kind of wish that
more
I had
driveways.
More
parking garages. Is that just not the easy solution?
I do have a driveway attached to my apartment, but
attached.
It actually goes directly into the apartment.
Fancy, yeah, driving. I like that. I like that.
I just can't park in that driveway.
Wait, real quick, while we're talking about cars, I actually did my research today.
Lift your mic up a little bit because it's
All right.
Better not be about the shit in the Cybertruck.
Oh, it's definitely about the Cybertruck. I'm all in on the Cybertruck.
It looks like a weird stealth bomber.
Yeah, just as weird as Elon Musk is during that presentation. He is one awkward dude, but the truck speaks for itself.
Low-key funny,
but
though.
But when you see that thing, eyes will roll, heads will turn.
Tell me what you were going to say. Were you going to say, though, because I got some comments on the Cybertruck after you.
Well, I just think it's so ludicrous and insane that it's cool.
Were you going to mention the Cybertruck? Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, that's hilarious. So I was reading a bunch of articles today on the Tesla Cybertruck, and I didn't even realize there's no side mirrors on the car. There were no wipers. Apparently, in the United States, or at least a lot of the states, I don't know if this is a federal regulation or if this is just like so common amongst the states.
Yeah. I'm just adjusting my...
The headlight that is on the Cybertruck, how it's one continuous...
Light strip.
It's apparently that's not going to be legal in like a ton of states. So there's like all of these things that I was like fell in love with, and I don't even know. They're going to either have to like lobby the government to change all the laws, or they're going to totally change the truck. It's not going to look at all what they. But probably can only go up from here because it was pretty ugly.
They should go with changing the truck.
All right, guys.
It like ends up looking just like a Ford F-150.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're going to have to downgrade a lot of the stuff. So before we get deeper into like current events and stuff, I really want to do. Put a heavy emphasis in this show on focusing on a lot of our funny stories and things from the past, because I think we've got a lot of them. And I wanted to go over and basically find out how to turn the other lights in the studio on, but I wanted to just kind of throw out into the air Rockport. Are there any stories from Rockport that we can share?
Mike, you might be good to spearhead this one.
I can. I think Ben can absolutely help me spearhead it as well.
All right, guys, go for it, because I got to step away from the mic for a sec.
Okay, all right. All right, Ben, you on with me here?
So let's set the scene.
Okay, all right. So what year are we looking at here? Is this 2012?
This is 2012, probably 19 years old.
Yeah. I remember it because it was like the same summer that that cruise ship sunk in like Europe.
Not off the coast of Italy, perhaps.
Yeah, it was off the coast of Italy.
I think it at, I don't remember what year
it's like
that
the
was.
The Concordia or something like
that. Yeah,
that's how you gauge the time.
Yeah, natural and like man-made disasters is how I gauge things. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So we are in Rockport. We're at like this like almost like empty apartment at this point, right? It was like Ryan's dad who lived there.
By the way, keep facing the mic. Okay. I know it's annoying, but
so my father, he's an artist by hobby at night. I guess this is his night trade, and he does etchings.
He only draws at night, though.
He's a moonlighting artist. Under the moonlight, full moon.
Oh,
it's kind of crazy the amount of stuff that your dad used to have in the garage, like the printing press and all that.
Oh, I hope my mother's not listening because you'll rile her up right now. She was not a fan of it either. Well, not that you weren't a fan, but
I got to be honest. I hope your mom is.
But yeah, so he had on Bearskin Neck. He had an apartment. So
which is like a dope street. Like that. That was like the best place to be at. And not only was it on a really cool street, but it also had like a little like rooftop balcony, which was sweet. So like we could like go like I think like Ben would like yell at all the 16-year-old girls walking by. It was
which, at the time though, that wasn't totally ridiculous.
We were like 18. Yeah, we were like 18 years old.
18, 19.
Technically, it was all
legal.
Within the confines of the law, guys. Okay,
shots fired. Bearskin Neck, pretty good place if you want seafood and saltwater taffy.
Yes, which
and
art. And art.
Yes, however, for a while you can't actually get lobster there because of what happened that night.
That's a good point.
So, you know, I think we were having a grand night of getting hammered off of like strawberry Smirnoff and like Natty Light or something like that. It was disgusting.
There were Rolling Rocks.
Did we have Chinese food at one point?
Probably.
I think we did. Don't ask me how we even obtained the food, but like I remember
I don't even
we
know
had like
get Chinese food near there. That was pre-Uber Eats and all that
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly,
so
that was pre-Grubhub. I think what we had done is we got like a menu or something offline and ordered it in from Gloucester, a Gloucester Chinese restaurant, and I think they delivered it.
But yeah, it was just a vicious combination. And
your night ended terribly, I remember.
Yeah, I actually died that night, and like Jesus Christ himself resurrected the next day, so it was good.
Kind of insane, by the way, because that's one of like the few times I've ever seen him get sick from alcohol, and the only other time I think was this past week.
Yeah. So it happens, you know, once in a blue moon, but when it happens, it happens with a roar.
Weren't there a bunch of sub stories kind of going on within there? Like, I remember throwing a frozen meatball at Ben and knocking a lens out of his glasses.
You have to understand what drew us from the sweet balcony Mike was talking about to the street, and that was the appearance of everyone's favorite animal, a micro pig.
Yes.
And it is a micro pig, not what do you call them? You call them
swine.
I think some people call them teacup pigs. I definitely do not use that verbiage.
That's just a physically stunted pig, don't they?
Yeah, actually, there is no such thing as a micro pig. Like, they all grow up full size.
It's like 30% of them grow up full size.
But, you know, I'm like willing to like to take on the responsibilities of a full size pig just for like the happiness of having that little baby pig for a little bit, you know?
Little known fact.
Pigs. Clean. Smart.
Pigs, if you keep them in captivity, will remain pigs. If you release them, I'm not even joking. If you release them into the wild in 30 days, they'll start growing hair.
Human beings.
Hair and tusks and start becoming wild hogs again. That's not a joke.
Horses, when you keep them in captivity, they remain horses.
They literally change their physical appearance.
Here, like the unknown Newton's law.
That's fun fact Friday at work. That's why I went.
See, I'm okay that the micro pigs, well, first off, I think with like technologies like CRISPR and stuff and gene editing, one day I think we'll be able to keep a permanently small pig if they really don't already exist.
Oh, I hope.
But if not, I'm totally fine. You let the pig grow up and you can donate it to a farm, or there might be somebody who has like the infrastructure to handle such a large creature. Or we build the infrastructure and we get some bacon.
No.
We could have some infrastructure. We could create our own micro pig farm.
Like a little barn. Because I also like goats.
A little barn? That would actually, yeah.
You guys ever see the movie Babe?
Not a good movie.
Well, it was good when I was like six.
Yeah, it's a kid movie.
It's a good plot when I was 3 years old.
But I mean, some kid movies transcend time, like The Land Before Time.
I don't remember anything about that.
Okay.
Was there a dragon in that? Like a dragon?
No,
that
flies.
That's a good cartoon, actually,
but that's not the one I was talking about.
No dragons.
What's that one with the green dragon or something that flies in the sky?
Keenan and Kel.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Am I right?
Keenan and Kel.
All right, back to the micro pig.
Worst guess. I don't know if there's much left to wring out of the micro pig. Is there a story based off of that?
What drew us to the street.
Oh.
Which is where the story really takes off.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so I believe, and I'm a little hazy on these details, but I believe in another site of wildlife, I think Pat was drawn to like a raccoon.
No. The raccoon became feasting on the meatballs that Pat found in the freezer. And
that's not what the raccoon was doing.
So while we were in the street, there were high school kids running down the street, toilet papering like the center of the town, which was very interesting.
And of course, this happened.
And us being in the state of mind we're at, we decided to lend a hand and join in a little bit.
Oh, yep. I don't remember that.
Because then I ended up about 200 yards away, and I walk back with my sunglasses on the middle of the night. I get struck with a...
Where the hell was I for all this?
Yeah, you had your sunglasses hanging off your shirt collar, and I whip a little frozen meatball
with
at you,
frozen,
the lens up.
With a frozen meatball,
50 feet
knocking
away.
out the lens of my brand new $10 Walmart sunglasses. So, small meatball fight breaks out. It was like the Boston Massacre in Rockport. Yeah.
With meatballs, yep.
Frozen meatballs. Those things had to have been pretty hard.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Frozen meatballs.
So a raccoon appears, starts feasting on some food that was willingly and unwillingly provided.
It was down on the little rock jetty, if I recall. So like we were back behind some places, some stores, and there was a rock jetty, and that's where I saw the raccoon. That's where I decided to act, just trying to scare that thing away. I picked up a big rock and whipped it down there. Raccoon moved.
It was a little bit of a provocative raccoon, in my opinion. I think it was instigating. It was certainly taunting you.
I think so.
The raccoon moved, or you missed?
Yeah, let's all blame the raccoon in this.
Is this a...
Maybe a little bit of both.
This is the Matrix raccoon?
Maybe a little bit of both.
It dodged the flying rock?
It was a pretty big rock. It was like a cinder block size.
Pat, please explain what that rock went on to strike.
Basically, just smashed a So there was a PVC pipe behind this raccoon, which was not seen, which I didn't see before. And basically,
and by the way, this was, you already explained that this was like behind all the buildings on Bearskin Neck. This was like the big boulders that kind of break the waves onto the neck. So these are like, the fact that there was a pipe there just seemed totally random and out of place to begin with.
Yes. Yes.
Until you realize what that pipe did.
Well, okay, so I just remember seeing the pipe in an instant, and then an instant later, the exact size of the rock was just a missing chunk of pipe with water gushing out of it. like pouring out of it.
Like, this doesn't seem quite right.
Yeah.
Pat, what was the purpose of that pipe?
The purpose of that pipe was to keep lobsters live in a tank inside one of those places, and I believe that that place was forced to make a lot of lobster rolls the next week.
Yeah, there was, I think we found out about it through, like, Ryan's dad, who was like, yeah, like, the talk of the
Rockport
street
Times.
Is that, like, yeah, like, all these lobsters were, like, in, like, put in such danger.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think it was like one of the greatest crimes of the area.
Yeah, no,
it was a pretty sleepy time.
By the way, there was no evidence that we were linked to this. I mean, people had just seen us in this Bearskin Neck. Rockport in general is extremely quiet at night. I think after like 8 p.m., there's like nobody there. It's a ghost town. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people had seen that I was in the vicinity earlier in the evening, and then something breaks, and we automatically got blamed for it. My dad didn't even come to question. I mean, he just assumed that I was guilty, which I was actually pretty pissed about, because I am innocent. This is the first time I'm hearing about all of this.
I've never heard of any of this. Okay, so let's fast forward. I'm trying to think of another moment that we were all there. What about, the casino? Foxwoods?
Oh, Foxwoods. This is a great story. This is a fantastic story.
This story provides the picture that pops up on my phone every time Pat calls me.
Yeah. Yeah, so pretty big stuff. I think I've showed, like, literally everyone I know this photo, actually.
I don't have that. I got deleted off of my phone, but
I can send it to you.
All right, Ben, you want to kickstart this bad boy?
So, we take a quick boys' weekend trip.
Can you set the stage? What? It's summer 2014.
Summer 2014.
Someone name a tragedy that happened.
Summer 2014. ISIS coming into power, and we're at Foxwoods.
Yeah, we're at Foxwoods.
ISIS sank a cruise liner in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, so we're all essentially like going into like our senior years of college, just about, give or take.
Yep.
Give or take. And, you know, boys' trip to Foxwoods. I think for most of us, the first time we were there, I think it might have been like my second time ever going. But like
first and last,
we got a room. I mean, we did it up big. We did it up big. I think it was us three, or us four, I should say, and then our other friend Mark. So, and I think that was like the first time like Mark's like really started to be like integrated into our group. So
that might have been actually the first time I hung out with him.
Yeah, and it was the first time Ryan and him hung out as well. So it was like, you know, first impressions mattered. Definitely, you know. So, you know, things kind of go, you know, I would say everything was pretty much par for the course for the first couple hours.
What were we doing there, by the way? We spent a night, or was it the whole weekend?
I can't remember. No, just a night. Yeah. Just a night. And
first
so
trip to the casino.
What's the big thing you do when you go there, Foxwoods? What do you do?
Blackjack. I have been studying.
Oh, gamble, go to the club.
Okay, never mind.
Well, I mean, blackjack's not false.
Because I want a little recognition. I had been studying the entire week a blackjack strategy card, thinking
you mean
that
watched Rain Man twice.
Yeah, he didn't even know that you could just bring the card up with you to the table.
Yeah, so I literally had memorized every single move, like based off of what the dealer has and versus what I have. It's this whole color coded thing. I was practicing the whole week when I should have been working in my internship, but I wasn't.
Okay,
and I get to the casino. I go to the dollar tables, and I was winning for a little bit, but then she told us that I didn't need to like hide the card under the table, where I could have just had it out.
And
Ryan was Rain Man that weekend.
But yeah, so the big thing we did that night, right? We go to what's that club called? Shrine. We go to Club Shrine. I'm sure everyone's been there. It's been crazy. So
that place was insane. I just remember it feeling like I was inside of a disco ball. I don't know if that was like my frame of mind or my inebriation, but it was like
so funny.
Yeah,
because it's actually just so small. Like I was there like this past June, and I'm like, wow, like it just seemed so much like grander to me. Like like, you know, 4 years prior, like it was crazy.
Yeah.
So I remember like we were outside for a while. Like we were like, there's like an outside patio that was cool, and like we're drinking, like nothing like too crazy. And, you know, we're like out on the dance floor. I remember we had probably only been there for like about what, like an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah, probably. Something like that. I don't really remember a lot of it.
Probably. So, I mean, I'll speak to kind of my experience as to what unfolded next. All I see is...
Well, where were you on the dance floor? Who were you near?
I would say closest. I was near what? I think it was like Mark. And then I remember seeing Ryan I was where everyone was. Like, I saw everything.
So I was standing next to Mark. The thing we need to understand about Mark is what I would describe as fun-sized.
That sounded oddly sexual.
I mean, yep, all right, 5'7" on a good day. And just being
like Bridget the Midget, that's what that sounds like.
Being fun-sized, Mark, I easily can get under ropes that divide things like the dance floor for the general population to VIP tables.
Okay.
Mark limbos his way under the ropes, and he's looking at me, and he's giving me the wave to like, come on, come on. And I'm just looking at this bouncer like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. And this bouncer's looking at me like, there's no way you're getting in there. Mm-hmm. He missed Mark getting through. Mark, let's just say, is of a different race than the entire VIP table, and he gets picked out very quickly and gets shoved from the VIP section back onto the dance floor.
I'm unclear what you mean. Can you clarify?
Okay, the VIP table was just a bunch of black people, and Mark's white, just so the viewers are very clear, the listeners.
You gotta paint the picture. That's bad radio, Ben. Come on.
So Mark gets thrown out,
and bumps into someone on his landing who bumps into Patrick. Patrick's natural reaction is to...
Whoa, I don't remember it this way. I remember meandering around the dance floor.
The end of the story would explain why you don't remember it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I remember it. I remember meandering around the dance floor in a state of semi-intoxication. And basically, like, either stepping on or bumping into somebody's foot.
Yeah.
Stepping on their foot. I don't know.
It's just normal stuff that happens at a club. Like, everybody's dancing, moving around. Like, you're bumping into people. But I think a lot of guys could probably understand from experience that there's generally, and you might be one of these guys if you're listening right now, some guys react with just a lot more force. Like, they're totally offended that you touched them on the dance floor.
Yeah, I think like 50% of guys go to clubs to initiate something like that. Okay. They're waiting for something to happen so that they can explode.
And then plus, all their rage. I have this theory that you kind of resort to more primitive instincts as you become more inebriated. And we all know we probably don't make the best decisions too as we're starting to drink. But anyway, so that's this. I'm behind Pat, and I see this happening in front of me. So Pat gets shoved, and I think it was actually pretty unfair. Like, Pat's a good guy. He wasn't looking for any trouble. He was just walking. He's just kind of going.
I probably didn't explain
much.
Like, I probably said like what or something, and I probably reacted dumbly. Like, I didn't. So I probably was like,
Pat
did
place a slight shove back. Slight shove.
Nah, did I? Okay, I don't know.
Pat, I'll take your word. The way that I saw it and recall it was Pat was first aggressively pushed. Pat kind of was like, "Yo, man, like, what was that?" And then the guy kind of like instantly decided or appeared to like want to escalate it, and Pat just threw a punch at him.
Throws the first punch.
And then I'm like,
wild card
my
move.
And I'm seeing this like probably, it's probably 10 feet in front of me, and like all the lights are strobing. So I immediately jump into action and I dart toward Pat and the scene of the incident. I wind my right hand back to go into, I think I'm going to get like a punch where like I'm moving forward and the punch is executed. So it's like the force is going to be like doubled. And I
Mac
immediately,
from It's Always Sunny,
as I need to kind of slow down, my feet slip out from underneath me. I fall straight to the ground.
Done. He's like, totally.
Strive, execute.
Yeah.
Completely taken out of the picture.
Totally disoriented, okay? And then I stand up, and I'm trying to get my bearings, and all of a sudden, like, the bounces are all over there. Like, I failed to come to the rescue, to assist. The whole thing is done in a matter of 6 seconds.
But I remember it getting, like, very physical in there. Like, that was maybe the craziest, like, altercation I've ever been a part of, because I go running in, I see Ryan on the floor, I see Pat getting socked, and I remember, like, in my head being like, oh, shit, like, oh, crap, I'm about to get cold clocked. And luckily, the bouncers came running over.
I like how you're Tarantinoing this. You're like taking different perspectives and knitting them together.
Yeah, it's all cohesive. You know.
So that now my perspective is that basically, I punched the kid in the face, and then somebody, I don't know if it was the kid that I punched in the face.
It was not.
I don't know if it was somebody else. Somebody just grabbed me by the by the collar of my shirt, which wasn't my shirt. It was Ryan's shirt because I had borrowed Ryan's button-up shirt, and somebody just repeatedly. Holding me in place by my shirt, smashed me in the face probably six times, seven good. Times. And so, blood like sprayed out of my face and got on the shirt and like I think got on some people on the dance floor because like a bunch of women nearby were like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then the bouncers like knew that you had been hit pretty badly and like I'm looking at you and there was a lot of blood and it was almost like your face instantly swelled up, almost like you had an allergic reaction to the punches.
I was allergic to punches.
And like your cheeks and your eyes, everything around your eyes was just all swollen and I'm not even sure you could like see all that well at that point because with all like the liquid in your eyes and stuff.
Out of that one eye, I definitely couldn't. So the bouncer or bouncers, plural, bring me to the other room in the back of this club. It's sort of an alleyway in the back. Almost like what you would see athletes run through to the football field.
Yeah, so what it actually was, I uncovered this when I was there this past June.
Yeah.
It's like a service area where all the service elevators go to, which we eventually went back up because they wanted to like sneak us up to a room.
Yeah,
they didn't
want
to bring us like back out into the public.
That makes sense. So they were asking me all these questions. They were sticking up their fingers, going, how many fingers are we holding up and shining a light in my eye, I think. And they said, you want to go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. And they said, all right, well, then basically sign this sheet of paper that says you're not going to sue us. They handed that to me. And then they said, okay. Go up in a different elevator so that you don't come across the people on the outside again.
Yeah, they pretty much decided that we were going to take the freight elevators because the freight elevators behind the bar in like the back area, those also went up to the hotel floors because that's, I guess, where like the whatever the people who bring the luggage up at the bellhops or whatever. And when you're getting your room service, they'll come up through those elevators. So that's what we got to use because, they didn't want you coming out parading in front. Like, because at this point, there was already a big line in the main casino area to get into the club.
Yeah, and they kicked everyone out who was like involved in an altercation, and there was confusion. Like, I think some people got kicked out when they were like had no affiliation with the group that was like we had an altercation with. And so people were arguing. Like, people were like still looking for like a fight. Everyone was like super aggressive out there. So they were like, yo, like, we're not bringing you back out in front of everyone. Like, you guys are going up the back way. It was actually like a pretty cool
good
moment.
Idea.
Yeah.
I remember we all got up to the hotel room and I was sitting there for probably like 10, 15 minutes. And you're just like, all four of you understandably are like, yeah, well, this isn't going to be our night, so we're going to go back down now.
They're
so, like have fun with that.
We're gonna go
I was like, oh, all right. I mean, it like obviously makes sense because it was the night was still pretty young. So, you know, you guys went back down to the either the gaming floor or to a club or something. I don't know. And I was up there for maybe 10 minutes and I was like, screw this. So I went back down onto the gaming floor and
just
I'm walking around
terrorized.
Walking around between people and the double takes that I was getting, every single person was just completely like repulsed by how effed up my face was. The next morning we went to a diner.
Just to paint a quick picture, his face looked like if you had like if you made a replica ice cream cake of Pat Clerkin and then like you left it in the sun for like 20 minutes and it was like melted and distorted, like that's what his face looked like.
Yeah, my lip was really messed up. My eye was just completely swollen shut on one side. And I think the infamous picture that you have on your phone is when you're like, all right, Pat, smile. And I was trying to like, I was trying to smile and open my eyes as much as possible. I was like,
his mouth was crooked. Yeah. His eyes are going three different directions.
Yeah.
You could only see one.
Yeah, I mean, lifting my eyelid as high as I could was like a tiny, tiny little slit. So the next day we went to a diner and I remember just basically having my Jackie Onassis sunglasses on and the waitress coming over and just being like, what the hell happened to that kid? And then I also remember going back to your place. You were at your parents'
house
at the time and like I remember just trying to be like evasive when I got back.
They wanted to come out and say hi. We're like, Pat, like, do not let them see you. Like, it's only going to lead to like unnecessary questions.
Yep. Yeah, and I tried to kind of like slink around on the side.
And
they're immediately
like so
just
suspicious
like, what's
when
wrong
like
with him?
Pat swoops by, everyone wearing sunglasses. like that was a stupid idea.
Yeah.
And just to tie everything together, what I found also hilarious in the moment of the fight was our buddy Mark, who we mentioned as like he was kind of meeting everyone for the first time, because he was my friend who I introduced to everyone.
Yeah.
He had hung out, he had like kind of heard stories that's happened, you know, prior, and he was just like what's with talking to me, like, you know, you and Ryan, like, always getting in fights, always getting thrown out. And I remember being like, no, man, like, it was Pat. And he was like, what? Like, this was Pat? Yeah. Just to give a little insight into, like, Pat's docile nature. Like, it was just so out of character for him to be in, like, any type of altercation at a bar or club or anything like that. So, yeah, that was, you know, Mark's, you know, kind of first impression of everyone. He's nuts.
Yeah. The last little tidbit of that story is, so that was during my third co-op, and So basically I had to go back to work on Monday, and, obviously I got a lot of questions, and, you know, the situations where something stupid happens to you that you know, like, I don't know, you walk into a door frame and then you tell people, oh, you should see the other guy, or in a crazy fight. This time, because I had gotten in a crazy fight, I was telling people like something mundane happened. I was like, that the actual story that I was using, I was like, yeah, I was in the garage moving a bunch of stuff, and I was taking a heavy bag off of a shelf, and the bracket underneath the shelf broke, and it came down and smashed me in the face.
So specific, though, that you're like, I don't think I'm going to challenge him on this.
Question.
Yeah, 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 there's a lot of detail for it to be a lie, but also really weird.
Yeah,
and the lie is the story the I used.
You know, it's crazy, though. In all seriousness, it was a scary situation. You know, I think it's easy to get into altercations at bars. And so I think you always need a plan to, you know, de-escalate.
And I was extremely lucky. That's other things. Like, exactly. I don't want to glorify. It's like, I could have lost my eye. I could have lost a tooth. Things could have been a lot worse.
It was good. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I do struggle with ways. I'm like, okay, like, because as Ryan alluded to, like, people are always looking for fights at these bars. And sometimes I just don't know how to get out of these situations.
And there's, like, an infinite amount of ways that you can respond, too. So sometimes, like, in your situation, you know, you went with, not that I'm saying you were in the wrong, but you went with more
of
an aggressive approach.
You escalated. You know?
I'm going to maintain the argument that you were actually, it was so aggressive that you could argue there's a self-defense motive behind yours. But
maybe mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, exactly. That type of,
He was aggressively self-defensive.
But then I find it very entertaining sometimes when people use creative methods to kind of diffuse a tense situation.
Yeah, like rip your pants down.
Like, just do something that's kind of like crazy. Where like at first maybe they wanted to punch you, and then you kind of make them feel weird, or like they get weirded out by the idea of perhaps having to touch you once you've done something like super strange in front of them. So then they're like, oh, whoa, this is like never mind.
So can I tell a story? Or
yeah. Do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is actually probably a year later. We're talking like 2015 July. Okay. So
by the way, after this story, which I'm really looking forward to this one, we should do Puffer Belly.
Oh, okay. We're gonna be kicking it in the time machine after this.
So point of reference, how many emails had Hillary deleted at this point?
Exactly. So we are at Tia's in Boston, you know, right outside of, I don't know, where's that? Where would you say that's located, Ryan? I know there's like the merry-go-round there.
Tia's, it's by the end of Faneuil Hall. There's a Long Wharf Marriott over there.
So. Yeah, if you guys haven't been there,
kind of near North End, everybody will know where it is if you're listening.
Yeah, you know, it's great in the summertime. Everyone knows that. And we were with a bunch of us, and I think I got like, I was with everyone for most of the night, and then like I think towards the end I got like separated. Like I was talking to someone, I don't remember. And I can see in the distance that there's like some altercation, and you know, supplies, like Ryan's at the Ryan's at the head of it. And you know, I can tell that there's an aggressive kind of conversation going on. And I'm like, oh man, like here we go, like just what we're talking about. It's easy to get in fights and altercations at bars. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to go running across this bar to help de-escalate or jump in, do something. And then I see like it all of a sudden just kind of like dies out. Like the bouncers don't come over. Like it just kind of fizzles on out, and I remember being like, that's like really weird. And I recognized the group that it was with, because I think we were either like talking to them earlier in the night or like something happened earlier. So they had seen me, and the best thing happens, because the kid comes over to me and he goes, oh my god, he's like, listen, I am just so sorry. And like in my head I'm like, oh wow, he's apologetic that he was being aggressive or something. And he's like I had no idea about your friend.
Oh, no.
I'm like about my friend? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. Like, I was being aggressive. Like, I didn't know he, you know, had like a mental disability. And I'm like,
I want to excuse myself for this because I was not in attendance that night.
I literally stone cold face. I'm like, oh, listen, man, like, don't worry about it. Like, I kind of want to be like, listen, you buy us a round of drinks, we'll forget all about it. And I was like, whatever, like, we move past it. I go over to Ryan. I'm like, hey, did you tell that kid that you were mentoring college? It's like, yeah, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
It was actually even a little worse than that. I did it like an impersonation.
Yeah, so we don't love that part. We don't love that part.
So that's what de-escalated it?
What?
So this is what de-escalated?
This is like what a de-escalated. Tie-in so essentially, to the previous story. I just had this like quick light bulb idea in my head. I don't even remember what I did to upset the kid. I'm sure it wasn't anything like worthy of him being upset about. But I just decided, like, I could tell he and his friends were getting like a little more aggressive. I was by myself, so I just decided to kind of go with like some type of disability route.
Yep.
And it totally. I mean, naturally, like, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was relatively convincing, and you're going to look like a real...
It's like faking a seizure.
Yeah, you're going to look like a real a-hole, too, if they try to call bluff on it, especially if they were wrong. What happened? There was some type of, like, reveal to them later in the evening.
I think it was, like, at the very end, we're like, you guys
got punked.
Idiots. Yeah.
Yeah. To
nerds.
You're the one with the mental disability,
though. Then We'll cut that out.
Oh, my...
Wow. Before we get into the Puffer Belly story, I just want to spearhead one story with Ryan.
Sure.
Our last kind of bar altercation story that's like very much worth mentioning.
Okay.
So this is, I would say this is probably now,
it's going to be 2 years. Are we talking about?
I think like winter.
Best bar ever.
2017. I'm talking about the Brahmin. I'm talking about the Brahmin.
Pre-Russian investigation.
No, that had already been.
That's everything.
Yeah. So I would say, yeah, like winter 2016, maybe. You know, Ryan and I are just going a relaxing night at the bar, a couple drinks. I believe it was like a Friday. You know, Ryan and I were both in public accounting at the time, so we were in a busy season, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to interrupt and say that while there's a good amount of stories here of us getting into physical altercations, it does not mean...
Well, we're sharing the anomalies,
that
actually.
We're condensing
all the best anomalies.
I just want you to understand that for some males at bars, this is the type of interactions that they unfortunately have to be faced with from time to time.
Yeah.
So. And if you think that, you know, you go out once a weekend, every weekend a year, this is like one out of 52.
Exactly.
It's pretty good odds.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So Ryan and I roll into the Brahmin, you know, fun like little club, and our very first walkthrough, like it's packed with people. And for those of you who don't know, the Brahmin's set up like almost like a horseshoe. Like it's like the bar's in the middle, and you can just
with
like
those funhouse stairs in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And you can like walk around the bar and then like back to like where you started. And
which is a great setup, by the way, because it forces more eye contact and interaction. Like you're looking at when you're looking across the bar, you're seeing other people who are sitting on that side of the bar. So,
So we're not in there for like more than like 3 minutes because all we do is we walk straight down to the back, and then we're literally just like going around and walking back like the other way. And when we're at the end of like if it's like a U, if we're just like walking down a straight line, and we're like at the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's like it's packed with people, and so like we're just going through like literally minding our business, like, oh, excuse me, whatever. And I'll never forget this kid wearing like a buttoned up white like dress shirt.
He was well dressed. He was actually a good looking kid.
Yeah, like, all right. Let's take the sexual feelings out of this guy. That's the two of you. My God.
Objectively, he was like, built.
Are you saying like he didn't look like a ruffian?
No, he didn't. Maybe of Middle Eastern descent. He was just well groomed.
There's a reason for this, guys. There's a reason for this because he wasn't a ruffian, but he might have been wealthy, and with that comes maybe the utilization of some wealthy drugs that might make you do something aggressive.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay. That's just my conspiracy theory. Which I think is very accurate. So
interesting.
He literally just like shoulders Ryan, and I'm right behind Ryan just walking, and Ryan's like, yo, dude, like, what's up? Like, what was that? And he's just like staring Ryan down. It's like so awkward. And like Ryan doesn't even say anything. He just looks at me and he's like, I don't know, man, like this is weird. Like just keep walking. So we keep walking and we literally just go around and stop at the bar. We're like, okay, like let's grab a drink. We did like our first like walkthrough here, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, like that was so weird earlier there. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. And then Ryan looks at me. He goes, hey man, like just so you know, be ready. He's walking towards us. and he's rolling up his sleeves, which like I frankly think is like a hilarious, like just like old school thing, like oh, like why I oughta, like
it's, a funny bar move. It's one of those things that people look, they're like thinking to themselves, this is gonna look cool,
right? But I mean, you're signaling exactly what you're about to do, so I mean,
exactly. So
good offensive strategy.
So Ryan, do you want to kind of
I see this. Mike's back is facing when he's coming over. So I'm like, yo, Mike, just so you know, I think he's about to start a fight. And say his sleeves are getting rolled up. He comes over. He's like eye contact, looking like wicked angry, kind of like head face forward. And I can tell he's just coming right for me. So I put my left hand. I kind of was trying to pretend like I didn't fully see him, but I definitely like saw him coming over. Mm-hmm. Leave my drink on the bar, grab him with my left hand, punch him with my right hand, and then I pull him down to the ground into a
I know this is would be the dominant memory of the
it was
just my
and so like tables getting flipped over, like all mayhem.
Well, I immediately brought it to the ground because I wasn't trying to get into
he's got a mean ground game.
We had all dressed up nicely. We were I wasn't trying to get punched in the face, like unfortunately. Like if you want to just start sparring with somebody at a bar, like you can try to not get punched in the face, but you can't always help it. So, and
not to mention there's a civilian casualty side, too. The collateral damage if somebody gets like a glass thrown into their face.
But I wasn't actually trying to get into a fight, and I didn't want to get kicked out. So I just immediately pulled him into a grapple hold onto the ground. So I pulled him onto my chest. Mike, I know this fits your little theme.
And if I could just quickly interject, my goal here, I see this happening and I go, this kid is clearly with people who are going to be coming to jump in. So I'm like out there like a hawk. Surveying the scene.
And you have the
worst
vision.
Yeah, you have the worst eyesight out of all of us. So that's just a hilarious statement.
So what I find hilarious is while this is happening, I'm like, shit, like, I don't see anyone coming. I was like, I might as well, like, I'm like, what do I do? Like, do I jump in and help Ryan? And like, I don't know what to do. So I just remember I look at the kid who is now on Ryan's chest, and I just rip his shoe off. I go, like, now, like, his equilibrium is going to be thrown off. Like, this kid does not stand a chance.
This was a very good contribution. So I'm holding him down. I have my legs wrapped around him, and he can't get out of it. And because I had pulled his neck into my chest, he cannot make any leverage to get good punches in. So his punches you can't punch him in that position.
When Mike just said that, I'm thinking of, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this episode of It's Always Sunny where like Frank, when they break into the fraternity house and Frank, he cuts the shower curtain, then he also like messes up their taxes, and Dennis is like, oh my God, that's long term. That's crazy. That's kind of like the way Mike was thinking here. He's just like, I'm not going to punch this guy. I'm going to take off his shoe. Exactly. And in the future,
he's going to be gonna get kicked out and he's not going to have a shoe the rest of the night. So he's not getting in anywhere. Exactly. His night's over. It's actually pretty genius. So I hold him down. A bartender. It was one of the bartenders, but he was a larger guy. He, I think, hopped the bar, came over, ripped this guy off of me. As this guy is getting pulled off of me, I'm laying down on the ground and I execute a kick that I learned in Krav Maga, where you like thrust your hips upward. And I know these descriptors.
I think we're familiar with that one.
Okay. So I kick him as he's getting pulled off. So I'm like, oh man, like this probably means we're gonna get kicked out.
Like we're standing there, we're like, okay, like bouncer's gonna come out and like kick us out, like whatever.
Which was a bummer because we just got there. You know, all preened.
We didn't even do anything. Yeah.
So the bartender comes over and he goes, thank you guys so much. Like that guy was causing us problems all night. Like we really wanted somebody to like hit him. And all of a sudden, the female bartender's like, I'm gonna buy you guys a round of drinks.
That's awesome.
So
we get us a round of drinks, and like we're heroes. Like everyone's like, yeah, yo, like f that kid. Like he was terrible.
I have never been like so jacked up and like, that's like awesome. Adrenaline.
We were celebrities in that moment.
That is incredible.
And to cap off the night, there ended up being a bachelorette party there that like we just like slinked our way into, and like we just like partied with their whole group that night.
That's an incredible night.
Yeah, and I met this girl. Her name was Molly McKinney, who was like she's like on like TV. And so it was like, cool. It was like a TV.
Maybe she mentioned your story. Somewhere.
It was like a TV personality. Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And so I ended up, that girl that was celebrating the bachelorette party, that was actually her fiance that started the fight. And so I ended up, I've been dating her ever since. I've been dating that girl ever since.
So you punched the future groom.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Okay. That would have been hilarious. Okay. So there are two stories that I was hoping that we could, we have 15 minutes left. I didn't even bring up the number tonight because, like, let's be honest, we're just going through the stories. Yeah. So you know, for those of you listening, if you have just stumbled into the middle of us talking about our random stories, this is Man vs. Mob Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Clerkin. I have my friends Ryan, Ben, and Mike in studio with me, and we're basically recounting kind of our best stories over the last, we have a lot of them. We've known each other for like over a decade, some of us longer than that.
Yeah, we'll be back on this.
Yeah, so...
keep the stories rolling.
So I have two stories in my mind. The first one is the puffer belly one. The second one is the one we found the dude, or really you guys found the dude in the trash. So I wanted to go through those, but somewhat quickly because we have 14 minutes left.
Okay.
So
I think we should start with the dude in the trash. That's the best one.
Okay. Can I tell that one? Because I like, absolutely. And you can interject your parts of it because
yeah, because there is for sure a point where we're going to have to take over. Absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes.
So okay. let's hear it from you.
Okay. So I went to Northeastern and we were coming back from the bar one night and walking up Mission Hill, which is where I lived at the time. And we get to the end of my driveway and I am the most trashed out of the three of us. And
Doesn't happen often, by the way.
Yeah.
It should happen more.
Yeah. So I believe that Mike was the one that pointed out that there were two legs sticking out from between the trash barrels in my driveway. And so you guys go a little closer. Maybe I was the first one to approach. There was this kid who was just, this Indian kid who was just basically sitting between the trash barrels completely passed out. And in my drunken state of mind, I was trying to be a humanitarian, trying to basically bring this kid, because it was cold, it was winter, it was actually pretty cold out, trying to basically bring him to a point where we could like bring him inside. And so I just basically put my arms under his arms and start basically trying to drag him. And instead of you guys trying to help, you just started videotaping, which was probably a hilarious choice
right,
in the long run.
At the same time, we kept being...
It was a little Jeffrey Dahmer, like yeah.
Pat was so incoherent.
Yeah, you're like, Pat, what are you trying to do?
He couldn't answer. We were like, Pat, is this one of your roommates?
Yeah, that's
like,
what
it
was.
Do you know this man? And he wouldn't answer. So we're like, I'm sure it's not some random civilian like in his trash. Like, it must be his roommate. It has to be his roommate.
Yeah, I think I was like, I'm known for not, like, I think a lot of people get like this, but
grunting.
Particularly when I just get completely obliterated like that, I just can't even remotely communicate. I don't even form words. Just like, kind of like what Mark was like the other night. But anyway, so
R.I.P.
Yeah. So, I think that at some point you guys just decided, because as Mike just alluded to, you were saying, oh, well, this must just be one of his roommates. At some point, the two of you just took over the guy from me. So, why don't you explain this part, because you know it better than I do.
Yeah. So this is actually a hilarious situation, because I now grab this kid from the upper body, and like Ryan's kind of helping me with his legs, and then Ryan, like the good, you know, just charismatic guy he is like, oh, his shoe's untied. And so Ryan goes to tie his shoe, and all of a sudden the kid who's like completely passed out starts to like come to and like cough a little bit, and I'm like, oh my god, he's like gonna throw up on me. So I drop him, and this kid like had like head on the cement ground, like
so messed up.
We need like the concussion protocol, like put him in one of those like little NFL tents, because like he hit the ground so hard. And Ryan's like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I don't know, I thought he was gonna like spit up on me or something like that. So you know, like Ryan gets his legs, I get his arms, like we bring him into Pat's apartment, and like we just like throw him on the couch.
Okay, this is pretty much where I could take over. So the next morning I wake up, sun's out, nice day, and I see this random kid next to me on the couch. No idea who he is. I'm sitting in the armchair. I notice that I have sort of like, it's not really a nice shirt, but I have, it's like a button-up shirt, short sleeve. And I notice that I've thrown up down my shirt into the pocket of that shirt.
God.
So there's just like a pocket full of vomit. And so I wake up to that and that kid, and I just kind of shrug, went upstairs to my room, kind of like turned the shower on, got into the shower, passed out, woke up like lying in a brimming bathtub, completely brimming, like my basically nose just over the surface of the water. And I think to myself, oh crap, turn off the shower, go into my room. It's like the freaking Amazon rainforest. Like the steam had basically caused all of the posters on the walls to come off. The ceiling was drips everywhere. The entire ceiling was dripping.
How long do you think you were in that bathtub for?
I don't know. Like, that's insane. Was crazy.
What a place to pass out. Yeah. Not only in a bathtub, but while the bathtub is running.
Yes.
Insanity.
Yeah. Also, guys, if you're listening, that's extremely dangerous. Don't ever do this.
Yeah, don't ever do this. I mean, this isn't something that I attempted to do, but it's just something that happened. Oof. So I go out into the room. I think I'm basically completely naked, and I'm taking a towel and like drying off the ceiling because the entire thing is like wet plaster essentially. So I go over once I'm done with that, check my cell phone, and there's just this hilarious group text message with all of my roommates from, so I don't know, maybe it was like 11 o'clock at this point, and the conversation was from 8 o'clock or something, and it said, "Yo, who is this guy? There's this guy on the couch. Do any of us know who he is?" And then there's a conversation or a comment later. I think he's one of Pat's friends. And then they're trying to contact me, saying, "Patrick, is this one of your friends? And I'm just cracking up, basically thinking about these guys going downstairs, not knowing who he was, asking him questions. He doesn't know where he is.
I didn't know
who he was. So even if I had shown up downstairs, I would have been like, yeah, I don't know who he is. So this dude, he just eventually just kind of walked out and went on his merry way. But can you imagine being this dude? Probably has a horrible headache and probably thinks that he had his organs harvested.
I can't even imagine that. Like, I really am so curious to know how he even got there in the first place, like in the trash cans. For as wild as a morning that you had that day, like that kid's morning was like 10 times crazier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't know to this day.
I'll never know. That's the glory.
Now he does.
Yeah. If he's listening to this now he does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So last week, we have to kind of crank through this, but Puffer Belly, I think there's enough content there.
Do we want to go Puffer Belly or do we want to go Centerfold?
I don't even know what that one is. So Puffer Belly.
I think we got to go Puffer Belly because we were all there for that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's go chronological order. I think this is about the time when the Barstool phone parties were happening, because I think the reason why
I was first co-op, so this was sophomore year, freshman to sophomore year.
Yeah, so this this predates all of the stories you guys just heard.
Yeah, okay. So these phone parties have been happening, and I had only heard about them. I didn't go to like any crazy school. I went to Suffolk University. I didn't go to any crazy schools like UMass where like they're known for partying and stuff. But this is the time where the Barstool phone parties were happening. So I think they were like copycat, where like some of the bars or entertainment venues were doing other phone parties. Mm-hmm. And this is toward the end of the summer. I want to say this is late August. And we were kind of questioning whether or not there was even going to be people down toward the Cape, because Puffer Belly's, we had heard they're going to be having a foam like rave party. Mm-hmm. It's in Hyannis, Massachusetts, I believe, which is right by the Cape, or down on the Cape, the armpit of the Cape, which is about from where we were living at the time, which is North Reading. It was about an hour and 45 minutes, I want to say. So it was a bit of a commitment, and we weren't sleeping there, so we had to be a little strategic about it too, about, you know, who was going to be the designated driver and stuff.
Yeah, we all had work the next day. Or at least I did.
What night? Do you know it was a Friday night?
I think it was probably a Thursday night.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
I thought this was at the tail end of summer. No?
It was at the tail end of summer, but maybe we had part-time jobs and stuff.
But I had the co-op.
Pat had a co-op, but we were all like in college, so we were on summer break. So
okay, okay. That explains it.
So, I think, so it was the four of us. Was there anybody else in the car? Did Paolo go?
No.
Paolo didn't go? Okay, so we're heading down. I think we're heading down Route 3. First thing, like, that maybe was foreshadowing the events to come that night. Ben says, "Hey, guys, can we pull over? I need to go to the bathroom." And I was like, "Can you hold it a little bit?" And I think he just said, "Yeah." But then I guess he just decides, "Hey, my Gatorade bottle's empty."
It was one of the large vitamin water bottles.
Okay, vitamin water bottles. Okay.
Huge difference.
Yeah, huge detail there.
Huge.
So Ben starts peeing in the back of my dad's SUV in a water bottle. And he's like, "Guys, don't look." And I'm like, "What the hell?" And I start flipping out as I'm driving. I'm like, "What the hell are you doing, dude?" So then I'm like, "All right, this is not the horrible like thing." I'm like, "Okay, he just will cap it off and we can throw out the water bottle when we get to the destination."
I got better ideas. Not in the cards.
Yeah, so Ben is like, oh, all right, I'll just get rid of it right now. So he starts dumping it out the window, not realizing like the aerodynamics of like wind.
And you just know, trying to squeeze urine out of a 65 miles an hour.
Fluid dynamics, bro, ever heard of it? So wind's like whipping the urine back onto the side of my dad's car. Now, obviously it's like invisible. It's this clear stuff, but it's like, I didn't want urine stains on the edge of the car.
So I
really was like that. And I'm a pretty like clean OCD guy. Mike is too. Like, it wasn't Mike's car, so I don't think Mike cared that much, but I was really
pissed. Ben is the second person to do something like that, because I threw up out your dad's window after we smoked cigars at Showcase Cinemas.
I think that might be the same side of the car. Yeah. That's another story.
I was holding my mouth and I leaned out the window and basically puked.
Ben also threw ice cream all over your Pat, or all over your car, Pat.
Yeah.
Oh, Pat, I'm mad at that too.
Ben, don't trust him in your car. Actually, don't trust him in general.
Let's get through the story. Yeah. So we get down to Hyannis, about an hour and 45. And you guys, if I'm missing anything, I'm trying to go chronological order. But we get to the parking lot. So first, upon arriving, we have to go down this like dirt or gravel road. And there's like some cars in this like rather large gravel parking lot. But there wasn't a ton. There's probably like 10. So then we were kind of like, maybe like we're really early, or maybe we really are out of season. Because I think some of the schools had already gone back in session. This could have been like the first week of September. I think it was the last week of August. So we were really like, wasn't sure if all the Cape goers were going to be there or not. And I think we had seen some photos online on Facebook or something from 2 weeks prior when they had also had one. Mm-hmm. And it looked pretty cool. So I think we were just thinking it was going to be the same type of turnout.
Good promo photos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good advertising their part. So we get down there. We're in the parking lot, and I think we get out of the car and we start. We had brought some booze down, like a water bottle that we started drink. Some of us started drinking. I think Pat, you started talking with somebody in the parking lot.
Yeah, this is my part of the story. Basically, I ended up buying a drug brownie from somebody that I did not know at all. Didn't even know what drug was in it.
Like, it was marijuana. I think it was pretty. I'm sure it was marijuana.
Could have been codeine.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We didn't know anything for sure. It was the most wild card move.
So aside from punching somebody at a casino.
Pat isn't much of a user, so.
If you use marijuana and you've used edibles, like, I think almost everybody knows that's used or is aware of it. Like, there's a difference with the way that the body responds to it. And so Pat ate the entire brownie. And I didn't know at the time. Like, I'm not going to say that I knew. But so Pat eats the entire brownie and, like, nothing had happened. And, you know, there's a delay. So I think
next morning when I was back at work in my meeting
then
in my business meeting
24 hours
like I was
delayed release on the Quaaludes.
Like, yeah, basically the walls were breathing. Was like very, very much
so we get inside though, and I think that's when it started to hit you. Like, we for some reason thought we were gonna get in trouble. We had put like booze in our pants to like sneak it inside, and then we went into the bathroom and we found like a little cove or like a piece of brick that was removed from the wall. So we thought we were gonna store the water bottle of alcohol behind that, and then like come into the bathroom every time we wanted to sip it. But then that fell like totally behind the wall.
The bouncer was super grilling us and watching us. Yeah. And I remember when we were washing the little stickers off our hands, or the little stamps off our hands, he got so mad.
Yeah, that was actually so funny. Yeah.
That also like makes no sense about how they do that. Like, you would think you'd get a stamp if you're 21, not like it's
the opposite.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
but he got then really you could just bring us a marker. So,
yeah. But, so in there, we get in there. There's really not that many people there. There's a sand volleyball courts in the back that weren't even open. Like, the nets were down.
Yeah,
it looked like a resort that had like closed.
It was
down,
just a bust of a night. So like, thanks Ryan for dragging us like 2 hours from home.
Yes,
like we looked like Fire Festival kind
of. It was exactly that kind of like, yeah. That really was what it, it was kind of like felt like. So I think we drive back. So we were all like exhausted. We're all kind of drunk. I was the one driving.
Pat's just flying.
I don't know if I slept that night. I just went right to my co-op the next day, and it was my first co-op, and I was like, all important people in the business meeting the next day, freaking out.
Their perception of Pat must have been so funny. They're this kid
sweats profusely.
Big idea guy.
Big idea guy. So we have like 50 seconds left. So Ryan, can you actually?
Yeah, I got
that
a PSA, and this probably kind of goes in line with some of the things we're talking about tonight.
Don't drink.
February 9th, 2014. A drunk driver headed the wrong way down a Southern California freeway, crashed and killed 6 people, including her own sister. The driver killed her own sister. So lesson here: if you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. And doesn't just include alcohol. I know a lot of people get away because it's not really test right now for if you're under the influence of weed and you're driving. But I think it's safe to say, like, you don't want to cause it could ruin your life. You could injure, clearly you could kill somebody else or take somebody the life of somebody in your vehicle or yourself. But if not, if you just kill somebody else, I mean, your life is essentially over for the decision. So
yeah.
Well said. And download that Uber app. No free ads, but download it.
Yes.